morning, everybody. So we're less than a week before Rosh Hashanah. So I thought it would be appropriate this morning to talk about a subject which really relates to the primary and most readily identifiable practice that we have on Rosh Hashanah. And that is, of course, the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar, sounding the shofar. This year, actually, we're not going to perform that mitzvah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah because it falls on Shabbos. It hasn't happened in more than 10 years, but it happens this year that the first day of Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos. So we'll perform the mitzvah just the second day, next Sunday, a week from today. But it's that mitzvah I'd like to focus upon and really understand a little bit about what the Torah tells us. Because actually, if we examine the Torah closely, the Torah Shebichtav anyway, we find the Torah tells us precious little about this mitzvah. In fact, the Torah tells us very little about Rosh Hashanah altogether. If you look in the first of the sources, those who have, the Torah tells us that in Parshas Emor, the first of only two places in the entire Chumash where Rosh Hashanah is even referred to, in Parshas Emor and Vayikra Perek Chav Gimel, that's the Parsha that's called the Parshas HaMoedos, because all of the Yomim Tovim, Shabbos, and all the rest of the Yomim Tovim are mentioned there in some detail. Rosh Hashanah is mentioned, not with much detail. All it says is, in the first of the sources, Vayikra Perek Chav Gimel, Pesukim Chav Gimel Chav Dalet, by the Rosh Hashanah, in the seventh month, that's this month, that's the month of Tishrei, because when it comes to the months, we start, of course, Achodes Alachem Rosh Chodoshim, we start with Nisan, so Nisan, Iyar Sivan, Tammuz of Elul Tishrei, the seventh month, the Echad L'Chodesh, on the first day of the month, the first day of Tishrei, Yelachem Shabboson, Shabboson means a day of refraining from work, Zichron Trua, Mikro Kodesh, Zichron Trua, the operative word here is Trua, but it says Zichron Trua, day to recall or make mention of, we'll have to see, maybe at the end of the year, if we have time to get back to that, but the word is Trua. A Trua is some type of a sound, Mikra Kodesh, it's a festival, it's a holiday, and that's what the Torah tells us, that this day we call Rosh Hashanah is Zichron Trua, is a day of making some sort of a sound. We know from the etymology and from other sources that Trua is some sort of a tooting sound, some type of blowing sound, but we don't know much else in terms of what the word means. Certainly the Torah here does not give us any details other than telling us that it's Zichron Trua. And the second of the sources, the second and final time that the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah is mentioned in the Torah is in Parshas Pinchas. This is actually the laning for the Maftir on both the first and the second day of Rosh Hashanah next week. It says there in Parshas Pinchas, B'midbar Perchav Tes Pasuk Aleph, U'vachodesh Hashvi, B'achad L'chodesh, same day, Mikodesh Alechem, Kol Lechad V'lo Sasu, Yom Trua Yelachem. It should be a day of Trua, a day of making this sound, of sounding this tuning sound. But again, no details. The Torah does not tell us, for example, exactly what instrument do you use to produce these sounds. You have to produce some type of a sound, but it doesn't tell us what instrument, what you use to produce the sound. It also doesn't tell us how many of these sounds do you have to produce. And it also doesn't tell us exactly what the sound is. So there really a lot of information is missing from the Torah Shebichtav, and we need to turn to the Torah Shebaal Peh to figure out what the basic mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar actually is. These are the only two psukim, as I said, where the Torah speaks about Rosh Hashanah. In both places, it goes on to talk about the karbonos of Rosh Hashanah, but in terms of the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar, that's it. So the Torah Shebaal Peh points us to one other place in the Torah where the word Trua is mentioned, although not in connection at all with Rosh Hashanah. It's in connection with an event that takes place once every 50 years. We know that every 7 years in Eretz Yisrael is a Shemitah year, and the Torah tells us that you count seven Shemitah cycles, that's 49 years, and the 50th year is called the Yovel year. So every 50 years, that's in the Pasuk towards the beginning of Parshas Behar, the third source, Vayikra Perek Kafei, starting in Pasuk Ches, the Safar Torah Sheva Shabsos Shanim, you count seven cycles, seven times, etc., adds up to 49, and then the key Pasuk for us is Pasuk Tes, V'avar to Shofar Trua, there's that word again, Trua, B'chodesh Hashvi, in the seventh month, B'osar L'chodesh, the tenth of the month, that's the day, as it says, B'yom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur, you sound the shofar, a special service once every 50 years called Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, and the Pasuk Yud says that year is sanctified and you're supposed to release all avodim and so on. So there at least we have the word Trua, but we have it accompanied by the word shofar, v'havarta shofar Trua. So we know that at least with regards to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, the Torah is telling us the name of the instrument to be used to produce the sound, something, as I pointed out, doesn't say by Rosh Hashanah. So we look in Source 4, that's the Sifra, the Medrash Halacha, the Torah's Konim in Parshas Emor, Parshas Yud Aleph, at the end of Parak Yud Gimel, starting in those Vav, the Sifra asks, regarding Rosh Hashanah, Uminayin Shehu B'Shofar. How in the world do we know that the instrument used on Rosh Hashanah is a shofar? It says shofar with regards to Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, once every 50 years, but it never said shofar in connection with Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, well, we have to learn, the Rabbanon learn out, Tarshu HaPeh, that it says, V'avarta shofar Trua B'chodesh HaShvi'i. The Pasuk in Parsha Bahar says, where it does mention shofar, says it's in the seventh month. And so the Sifra goes on, I'm not going to read inside, the Sifra goes on to say, 1 second, why do you have to tell me it's the seventh month? You go on and says, B'yom HaKippurim, we know what Yom Kippur is. Why did the Torah have to say B'chodesh HaShvi and then mention Yom Kippur? Once we know it's Yom Kippur, we know it's in the seventh month. So the Gemara says, the Medrash Halacha says, no, Talmud Lomar HaChodesh HaShvi, Umat Talmud Lomar HaChodesh HaShvi, Hari Trua HaShvi is Kazu, Mazu B'Shofar, Av Trua Rosh Hashanah B'Shofar. The Gemara learns out that the Torah in Parashas Bahar, with regards to Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, mentions this phrase, B'chodesh HaShvi, to draw a linkage between the requirement on this once every 50 years occasion of Kippur Shal Yovel and the requirement on Rosh Hashanah. And just like the seventh month of Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur Shal Yovel lands, the instrument uses shofar, so too the other place in the Torah where it says B'chodesh HaShvi, namely Rosh Hashanah, and it mentions you sound the trua, it also has to be with the same shofar. Okay? Then the Gemara goes on. So, by the way, if we skip down for a second to the Gemara in Source 5, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Gimel Beis asks the same question. Tana Rabbanan, Source 5, Minayin Shem Shofar. Who says the shofar? The Gemara has the same derivation. And the Gemara concludes by saying, look at the last words of 5, Sheyiu Kol Truo, Shechot Shri Zekazet. The Chazal understood that the Torah Shema Peh tells us that the linkage is set up. That just like Yom Kippur Sheyover, it says, Bachodesh HaShri, and it says, and there it says the instrument uses a shofar, so to the other places, namely with regards to Rosh Hashanah and the two psukim we started with, where it also says Bachodesh HaShvi, and it also says trua, it also requires that the instrument uses shofar. All the truas that are be sounded this month in the Chodesh HaShvi are the same, namely done with a shofar. Okay, and I just pointed out in Source 6, as I mentioned, the Chidush HaRitva says we need this derivation. Chidush HaRitva, there in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Gimel Beis, Dibam Asol, Tana Rabbanon, Source 6, he points out, like I told you before, Pirish Tigabe Rosh Hashanah, Loksi Vela Trua, Veleke Zecher, Bedover, Shetahe B'Shofar. There's no reference at all. There's no hint even when it comes to Rosh Hashanah that the instrument uses the shofar. Therefore, we need this other derivation. Okay, so now at least we've established that the instrument used on Rosh Hashanah is a shofar. So the next question is, well, how many of these sounds do we blow? Okay, we got to use a shofar, but what do you do? Exactly how many sounds? So here we have a Mishnah on that same page in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Gimel Beis, source number 7. The Mishnah says, Seder Tekios Shalosh Shel Shalosh Shalosh. You need 3 sets of 3 each. That's what the Mishnah tells us, that the Tekiyah Shofar, I was talking now about Rosh Hashanah, is 3 sets of 3 each. And Rashi tells us in Source 8, and that Mishnah Rosh Hashanah Lamed Gimel Beis, Seder Tekiyah Shalosh, Achas L'Malchios, V'Achas L'Zichronos, V'Achas L'Shofars. We know that the way we assume the Musaf Shemana Esrei in Rosh Hashanah has 3 special brachas, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofars, 3 special brachas. So each one is accompanied by 3 sounds, so it's 3 sets of 3 sounds each, 1 for Malchios, 1 for Zichronos, and 1 for Shofars. Okay, now what do you mean 3? Where do we get 3? It said trua. So how do you mean, we know there are 3 brachas, okay, but what do you mean 3 sets of 3 sounds each? Where do the 3 sounds come from? So Rashi tells us, shalosh, tekiya utrua utekiya lechol achas v'achas. You need for each of these 3 brachas a tekiya, which we haven't met yet. It's a flat sound, the unbroken sound, that the word means. Then the trua is that broken sound, then a tekiya. So you need tekiya, trua, tekiya. So if you look back in the Sifra, back in Source 4, the Torah's Konim there in Parshas Emor, in Siman Zion, O Zion 4, how do we know? Pshuta means a straight sound, a flat sound, not opposite of Trua. Trua is a broken sound. So the Sifra wonders, well, how do we know that you're supposed to have a Tekiya, a flat sound, before the Trua? Again, with regards to Rosh Hashanah, all it says in the 2 sources, in 1 and 2, is Yom Trua. It's a day of making a Trua, which is some sort of a tooting sound, a broken sound, but it doesn't say anything about a tekiah either before or after. So again, the Sifra wonders, in second part of Source 4, Uminayin Shipshuta Lefanea, the Talmud Lomar, again going back to that Pasuk by the Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, Pasuk Tes in Parshas Behar, Vayikra Perek Hafei in Source 3, the middle Pasuk, the Havarta Shofar Trua, the word Havarta means a flat sound, a straight sound. So before the Trua is Havarta, you have to make a flat sound with the Shofar. Okay, that tells us we need a tekiah before the trua. And then the Medrash goes on and asks, how do we know we did a flat sound afterwards? Because they look again at that same pasuk test in Source 3, after the word trua, towards the end, it says again, ta'aviru shofar, a flat sound. So the word b'havarto, ta'aviru, the same word, implying a flat sound, appears both before and after the trua. So that's how we know That you need both a pshuta, a simple sound, a flat sound before, and a flat sound after. And then, of course, the Gemara has the same thing, because the Medrash rather says the same thing. Ainli ela b'yovel, but that's only talking about a yovel. Who says the Yom Kippur shel yovel? Who says that's true on Rosh Hashanah as well? So again, we have the connection, b'chodesh hashvi, links all the times during the seventh month when you blow a trua. A, it has to be with a shofar, and B, it has to be this trua, this broken sound, this preceded and followed by a flat sound that we call a tekiah. Okay, and that's again, if you look down at source 9 now, the Chidush HaRidva in Rosh Hashanah Lama Gimel Beis, Diva Masa Masnis, and he says, Pir Shalosh Truas, Sheesh Bechol Achas Men Beis Tekiahs. You need three truas. Okay, each one which has a two tekiyas, one before, achas lefonev, achas lacharev, and that's what it means in the Mishnah, three sets of three sounds each. The three sounds are tekiya, trua, tekiya, and that is done three times, once for malchios, once for chronos, and once for shofars, and that's the only question is, how do we know three? That also is not clear. You need tekiya, trua, maybe one will suffice. Yes, Rashi told us three special brachas, but who says that each one needs a shofar? So the Ritva tells us at the end of 9, which the Gemara refers to the Gemara, that you put together all the three psukim, which speak about sounding a shofar during the seventh month, the two psukim by Rosh Hashanah, and the one pasuk by Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, which each one says the word has the word trua, so that means three truas are required. Each trua is both preceded and followed by a tekiya, as we said. If you look in source number 10, actually, I mean, we said it already, so let's move to 11, the Gemara. The Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Gimel Beis, going over to Lamed Dalel Aleph, source 11. Uminayin Shepshuta Lefanea, Talmud Lomar Vavarta Shofar Chua, Uminayin Shepshuta Lacharea, again, Talmud Lomar Taviru Shofar, and it's not only Chu Yovel, but again, the Gemara ends on the top of Lamed Dalel Aleph, the end of 11. Sheakol Chuo, Sachodesh Hashri, Zekazem. All the Chuas are going to be the same. Okay, and so that links everything together. Yom Kippur, Rashi explained, Yom Kippurim, Hare Havara, Tchila B'Sof, Utshuva Ksiv, Bein Taim. Okay, so now we know we need three sounds. The Gemara, if we skip down to 14, tells us the same thing. Who said, Huminai L'Sholosh, L'Sholosh, L'Sholosh? As we've already pointed to, Talmud Lomar, Vavarta Shofar Trua, one, Shabbason Zichron Trua, two, Yom Trua Yalachem. The three psukim we started with all have the word true in it. That tells us that you need a Trua three times. That's a Chazal learned. This is all the Torah Shabbat Peh. All the oral tradition telling us that we need three trua sounds. Each one is preceded by a tekiah and followed by a tekiah. And this is true on Rosh Hashanah. It's on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. And that's how the Gemara ends off in 14. HaKetzad Shalosh Shehein Teisha. Altogether, Mida Oraisim in HaTorah, you need nine sounds. That's the grand total of amount of Torah, of shofar sounds after Rosh Hashanah. Nine sounds. Tekiah, trua, tekiah. Again, tekiah, trua, tekiah. Again, tekiah, trua, tekiah. Do the math, 3 times 3, 9. Okay, so you need to have nine sounds that are blown or shown. Midoraisa, that's it. Never mind that we blow 100 sounds in here, and that's all later. We'll get to some of it. But midoraisa, on a Torah level, all you need to blow or shona is nine sounds, tekiah, terua, tekiah, three times. Okay, that's it. Now, full disclosure, the Gemara goes on there on Rosh Hashanah, daf lamed dalet amud aleph. Quoting Psukim from Parshas Bahaloscha in source 16, which had absolutely nothing again to do with shofar. It had to do with, in the Beis Hamikdash, they sometimes blew, you might recall, chatzotzro, silver trumpets. Okay, and not only in the Beis Hamikdash, but in the desert as well. The Torah describes that Moshe Rabbeinu was told in Bahaloscha Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph Beis, Vadeva Moshe Lemoa, Aselecha Shtei Chatzotzro, Kesef, you have to make fashion two silver trumpets. And when you blew different sounds, it was sending a different message to the people. They should gather, they should travel, different things. Okay, so based on the psukim there, you can hold on to source 16. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Dalem and Aleph, says that Bahai Tana, a different Tana learned. Remember, we learned, how do we know you have to have a tekiah before the trua and a tekiah after the trua? So we said because of that pasuk by the Yom Kippur of the Yovel year that says Vahavarta Shofar and Shofar to, and again, shofar, taviru shofar towards the end. But this Tana learns it out from the psukim over here. Parshas Bahaloscha, if you look at Pasuk Hay in Source 16, it said, uskatem trua. The verb is uskatem, which implies a tekiah, but the sound you produce is a trua. How could that be? It should say, vahareosem trua would be the proper grammar. Why did it say uskatem trua? So it says, no, because you have to, that teaches us you have to first have a tekiah, uskatem, tekiah, then a teruah. Again, that's how the Gemara learns out in 17. Again, you can look at it yourself inside. And don't think that Taki and Trua is the same sound, because if you take a look, says the Gemara look in Pasuk Zion, says the Gemara in 16, Uva Hakiles Hakol Tisku Velo Sariu. When you assemble the people, you blow the Tekiah, not the Trua. So there's obviously two different sounds. Okay, we're distinguishing two different sounds. So it says Uskaten Trua. So that, you know, you need a Tekiah before. And at the end of Pasuk Vav, you look in 16 again, it says Trua Yisku. With the word Tekiah, the verb of Tekiah comes after the word Trua. So again, that teaches you need Tekiah both before the Trua and after the Trua. So this whole picture here that I just presented to you, others say it because it says Uskatem Trua Shenis, the second time. Bottom line, the Gemara concludes in 17. Look at the end of that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Aleph in 17. Matsino Lemaidin, we've learned out, Sholos Truos V'sheish Tekiyos Nemru B'Rosh Hashanah. Okay, three truas, six tekiahs, right? Tekiah before and after, a trua in the middle, three times. Grand total, nine sounds have to be heard according to the Torah. Three truas with six tekiahs, one tekiah before and after each trua. And that is what the Torah requires, period, end of report. All right, so now we've established, number one, the instrument used, it's a shofar. And we've also established that each trua has to be preceded and followed by a tekiah. And we've also indicated that's done three times. The big question still left is, what exactly is a terua? What is a broken sound? Tekiah is an easy word to understand. It's a flat sound, so blow it. Okay, so then we can discuss later how many seconds you have to blow it. How long does it have to sound? And that the Gemara discusses. But at least we understand what the word tekiah means. Tekiah means a flat sound. Good. A terua means a broken sound, but what kind? How do you break it? Break it in three, break it in six, nine, short sounds, long sounds. There are many different possibilities. And once again, we don't seem to have that information at all in the Torah. And unfortunately here, the psukim with regards to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel don't help us, because it also just says trua. We got from the Yom Kippur Shel Yovel that the instrument used is a shofar. We got from Yom Kippur Shel Yovel that you have to have a tekiah both before and after. We had another source for that as well. And with the pasuk by Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, together with the two Rosh Hashanah psukim, we know that the number of truas is three. So all that information we were able to get by putting together the psukim about Rosh Hashanah and the pasuk about Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. But unfortunately, no information is forthcoming from any of those sources exactly what is a trua. Other than etymologically, we know trua means a broken sound, something shattering. But again, it could be 5 or 3 or 9 or 15 or whatever it could be. Broken up, short sounds, long sounds. We don't know that from the Torah itself. So we have to look further. So if you look in source number 19, that's a pasuk in Parshas Pinchas. That's the pasuk which we quoted back in source number 2 from the Maftir reading of Rosh Hashanah, where the Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Teruah. So the Targum Unklus translates that phrase Yom Teruah. If you look at source 19, Bamidbar Parakof Tes Pasuk Aleph of Yarcha Shuya, the seventh month, etc., etc. Yom Yevava Yehe Lechom. Yom Teruah is translated as Yom Yevava. Yevava. How does that help us? What does Yevava mean? So we find in an unlikely source, the Tanakh uses the word Yevava to symbolize somebody crying. The Navi describes in Shoftim, the Sefer Shoftim, not Parsha Shoftim, Sefer Shoftim, Perikei, you look at source 20, and that was talking about the battle led by Devorah, the prophetess Devorah, and Barak ben Avinoam against Yavin Melech Hatzor, whose general was a great general by the name of Sisera. And some of you remember, this is the Haftarah for Parshas B'Shalach, if you're keeping the score. So the Torah describes over there, the Navi describes over there that Sisera was defeated. Actually, he met his end in a rather a bloody fashion, right? He came into a tent of a certain woman, and she fed him some milk and so on. He fell asleep, and she drove the tent peg into his head. That was the end of Sisera. So then Devorah sang a song. Devorah the Navia sang as a Shira. That's why we read it as the Haftarah of Parshas B'Shalach, with Shabbos Shira. So it says over there, in Shoftim Perikei Pasuk Chof Ches, describes 20, Be'ara chalo nishkefa vatiya beiv aim Sisera. The mother of Sisera was waiting for her son to come home victorious in battle, as he had done so many other times. But this time he's not coming back. And she began to realize that he would not be returning this time. And she's wondering, why is he not coming back? How come I don't hear his chariot coming, and so on? But the verb used is vatiya beiv. Notice the similarity to the word in the Unklus in 19, which is the translation of true Yom Yevava Vatiyabev. She wept, she cried, because she realized her son was not coming home from battle this time. Rashi, there in Shoftim, Perkei Pasuk Chavchei, says in 21, Rabosenu Pirshu Lashon Genicha, Ketrua, the Matargam, meaning Yevava, Genicha is like moaning. It's like a, you know, just like sighing and moaning and sadness. Oh, you know, when you cry, you moan. That's how Rashi interprets it. It's like a genicha. It's like a moaning or groaning sound, right? When a person cries. The Mitzudas David in that pasuk in Shoftim, Perkei Pasuk Chavches in Shoftim, mentions something else. Again, it describes that she was crying and so on. And at the very end, it says, Kederech hamiyalel mikev lev. Yalel is almost like shrieking, you know, very short, sharp, like crying, shrieking, mikev lev, from heartache. The mother was waiting for her son to come home. He's not coming home, okay, except maybe in a box. And therefore, she's crying hamiyalel, right? It's a little different. Rashi said it's more like a groaning sound. Mitzudas David, both here, and the Mitzudas Tzion, in Shoftim Perkei Pasuk Chavches 23, right? She was looking by the window, waiting for her son. Vatiyabev inyan yalala kitrua tigam yavava bekol atrua hi ki yalala. So if you're paying attention, you notice, well, 1 second. Rashi kind of defined the crying as a moaning, groaning type of sound, and the Mitzudas, in both places, the Mitzudas Dov, Mitzudas Tzion, translated it more as a, you know, piercing, shrieking kind of sound. And so, and both are understood from the word Vatiyabev. And now, coming full circle, our pasuk, which talks about Rosh Hashanah, which calls it a Yom Trua, the Targum says Yom Yevava. So now we begin to learn that the Trua is supposed to be some sort of a crying sound, right? It's supposed to imitate, so to speak, somebody crying. Well, the Gemara says on that same daf in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis we had before, 24. So Dichsiv Yom Truya Lechem Umetargeminan Yom Yevava Yelachon. Right, the Gemara points out that the Targum is Yom Yevava. Uksiv Beime De Sisra, and it says by Sisra's mother, Be'ara Chalon Nishkafa Vatiyabev Eim Sisra. She was sitting by the window, Vanishkafa, and she wept and so on. So actually, the Gemara says to Machlokes what that word means. Mar sovar ginuche gonach, umar sovar yulul yolil. The different understandings, like we saw already in the Mefarshim on the page in the Navi, in Rashi and the Mitzudas, different understandings of what the weeping is. Okay, Rashi explains by it used the word vatiyabev, but what type of sound is it? So look at the second part of 25. We have two different types of crying. Sometimes a person cries, it's more like a groan. Sometimes, like that kind of groaning sound when a person's very sad. Other times a person's weeping, it's almost like a staccato. Both are forms of crying. Okay, both are forms of crying. So, and both are implied by the word vatiyabev. And since the word vatiyabev is linked by the Targum, which is in Targum Uklis, but it's also in the Gemara, to the Yom Trua. So we know that a Trua is a crying type of sound, but there are two different opinions exactly what it is. So you've picked up already that what we call Shvarim, that is the groaning sound. You know, right? Groaning sound, that type of longer, it's a broken sound, but it's longer. Each individual sound is longer. It's broken into three parts. That's what we call Shvarim. As Rashi says in 25, on that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Lam Gimel Beis, Manda Amar Shvarim Savar Ginuche Gonach. The person who says that what we should really blow is a Shvarim, okay, says Ginuche Gonach, Ka'adam HaGoneach Milibo, like somebody's moaning from the heart, groaning from deep inside, like a person who was sick, who's having trouble breathing and so on. And the other opinions, what we call trua, is yulule yolil, ke'adam abochem akonim kolos kitsarim smuchin zelozeh. Short, we call it in music staccato, short, sharp sounds right next to each other. So it's just interesting that now we seem to have two different explanations as to what a trua is. We know you produce it with a shofar. We know that every trua has a tekiah before it and a tekiah after it. And we know you got to blow it three times. Tekiah, trua, tekiah, three times. We've established that already based on the psukim. But now the question is, what is a trua? So the question seems to be, is a trua actually what we call today shvarim? Or is what we call trua? Right? Is the trua that the Torah refers to when it calls Rosh Hashanah Yom Trua Yelachem, is that we're supposed to blow what we call Shvarim, that's again with a tekiah before and a tekiah after, or we're supposed to blow what we call trua, the short, sharp staccato sounds, like Rashi says, kolos tzarim smuchin zelazeh, that's the trua which has to be preceded and followed by a tekiah. Rabbeinu Chananel, on that daf in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Gimel Beis, Govar Over Lamed Dan, Aleph 26, says, the problem is we don't really know what the Vatiyabe by the sister's mother. We weren't there, and it wasn't recorded, and it was it wasn't live streamed or whatever, so we don't know what the sister's mother was doing. We all know it says in the Pasuk. So he says, we don't know in Lashon HaKodesh, okay? In Lashon HaKodesh, Vatiyabev, which is the word used in the Navi, in Sefer Shoftim, we saw the Pasuk before, right? In Parakei of Sefer Shoftim, Pasuk Chavchez, back in Source 20. We don't know, says the Ben Chavat, what Vatiyabev means. Does it mean more groaning type of sound? Does it mean a shorter type of staccato sound? So we don't know. Lo nisbar, as the Targum, as the Rabbeinu Chananel says in 26, Lo nisbar adover, kedivre echana. We don't know. It's not clear which it is, okay? Now, the Ramban has a little bit of a different take, just to be clear. The Chiddush Ramban, there in Rosh Hashanah, Gimel Beis, Hachi Gar Sinan, says it could be that we really know what the word means in Navi, but it means something else colloquially. And that's true today. When we speak about a Truah, before this year, you stop anybody who knows about Rosh Hashanah and Tekiah Shofar, and you ask him, what's a Truah? So go, everyone knows what that is, right? So that's, on the other hand, the biblical word Truah, points out the Ramban, may not mean that. The biblical word may mean what we call Shvarim. That's the issue. Do we go by what it says in biblical Hebrew or by the modern Hebrew? Not, I mean modern, but the spoken Hebrew and so on. Languages evolve. English, every language evolves. And I mean, you know, you read the Chaucer's English, it doesn't sound anything like the English that we speak today. And even if you read Shakespeare's English, there are many words which are not have the same don't have the same exact meaning today. And even in recent times, things change all the time, right? In any event, so that's what the Ramban points out. But be that as it may, there seem to be different understandings of what the Torah requires when it says Yom Truah. Tekiah before the Truah, Tekiah after the Truah. What's the Truah? Is it what we call Shvarim, these longer groaning type of sounds, or is these shorter Yilul Yala what we call Truah? So the Gemara at the end of this sugya, 28, very important, Lama Dalamad Aleph, says the following: Iskin Rabbi Avo Bekisri, Rabbi Avo of Caesarea, Caesarea, okay, said the following. He instituted or established the following, that we should blow the following: Tekia, Shlosha Shvarim, Trua Tekia. Okay, we should blow a Tekia, then the three Shvarim, then the Trua, you know, the Scott of Sound, and then another Tekia. That's what he said we should do. Someone says, Manoshach, I don't understand. 1 second. E Yulula Yola, if Trua means the short staccato sound, so just blow Tekia Trua Tekia. And if it's Ginuche Gonach, it's a longer sound, so just blow Tekia, three Shvarim and a Tekia. What do you have to have both the Shvarim and the Trua? You know, what we call Shvarim and what we call Trua, what do you have to have both for? Blow either the three Shvarim or the Trua. So he says, Gemara says as follows, Misapke le I Ginuche Gonach I Yulula Yola. He's not sure. We're not sure what the correct sound is, says Rabbi Avo. Therefore, he proposed you blow both. You blow a tekiah, then you blow shvarim, and then a trua, and then a tekiah. So the Gemara says, Maskif lor Rav Avira, once, as Rashi says, look in 29, Misapkala vavitavayo, and be on the safe side, blow both. We don't know what the Torah means by trua. Does it mean the groaning sounds that we call shvarim, or does it mean the sharp staccato sounds that we call trua? So therefore, he proposed, Rabbi Avo did, that we should blow both. Tekiah, shvarim, trua, tekiah, then you're covered. Where it says Maskif Lor Vavir, 1 second. The Dilma Yilula Hava become Mafsik Shlosha Shvarim Ben Trua Lekia. 1 second. But let's say it really means what we call Trua. It's a sharp staccato sound. So when you do what Rabbi Avo said, you blow Tekia and then three Shvarim and then what we call Trua, then a Tekia. But there's a hefsik, there's an interruption in between the initial tekiah and the correct trua sound. Those three shvarim don't belong. If trua is really means a short staccato sound, so these are extra sounds that don't belong. So that's not right. You can't. We have to have a tekiah, then a trua, then a tekiah, like we established before. So now you're blowing these extra three sounds. They're not part of it. If trua means the short, sharp staccato sounds. So he said, oh no, Hadar Ava Tekia Trua Tekia. No, what Rabbi Avo meant was after blowing Tekia Shvarim Trua Tekia, so then blow Tekia Trua Tekia. To be honest, what we call Trua. So then Ravina asked, but 1 second, maybe Ginuche Ganach, maybe the correct approach is to blow the longer sounds, in which case, when you blow Tekia Shvarim Trua Tekia, there's an interruption of those trua sounds, what we call trua, those sharp staccato sounds don't belong if trua means what we call shvarim. So he said, no. So blow afterwards also just tekiah shvarim, tekiah, three times. So now what Rabbi Bo is saying is you blow Tekiah Shvarim Trua Tekiah three times, Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah three times, and then Tekiah Trua Tekiah three times. That's what he said. So the Gemara says, well, what do you need the first one for? You're covered. So he said, no, because sometimes people cry both. Sometimes people start to cry. Sometimes you see it with little kids sometimes. When they begin to cry, right? They start crying with longer sound, and they kind of like develop into the sharper sounds, right? And sometimes they hold their breath for a long time. You're getting nervous, right, after a while. But that's what happens. So he says, maybe what the Torah means by trua is what we call shvarim and trua together. It's both. You're both right. Then the Gemara asks, why not the other way around? Trua before shvarim, that people don't cry that way. What emerges from the Avo, the conclusion of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Daniel Aleph 28, is that, and what his takana was, that what you do is you cover all bases. Tekiah, shvarim, trua, tekiah, that's, you do that three times. Then tekiah, shvarim, tekiah, you do that three times. Then tekiah, trua, tekiah, you do that three times. That way, your all bases are covered. Again, let's remember what the Gemara said earlier. According to the Torah, okay, the Gemara says you need a total of 9 sounds. Tekiah, trua, tekiah, three times, end of story. But now, once Rabbi Avo came along, he says, really, you end up needing 30 sounds to get the 9. Tekiah, shvarim, trua, tekiah. You do that three times. 4 times 3 is 12. Then you do tekiah, shvarim, tekiah, three times. That's 9, so 12 and 9 is 21. And then you do tekiah, trua tekiah. You do that three times. 21 and 9 is 30. So in order to get the 9 that the Torah requires, Rabbi Avo said, you better blow altogether 30, which, by the way, is what we do, right? That, those are the tekiahs that will blow Be'ez Hashem a week from today, Sunday, before Musaf, right? Right after laning, the tekiah shofar, 30 sounds. If somebody's housebound and they're coming over to blow, they blow 30 sounds, because when you blow those 30 sounds, tekiah shvarim, trua tekiah three times, tekiah shvarim, tekiah three times, tekiah trua tekiah three times, all your bases are covered. Okay, that's what emerges from the Gemara. Now, what exactly was going on that prompted Rabbi Avo to do this? So if you look in the Rambam, and we're not going to read every word inside, but you look in the Rambam, Hilchos Shofar, Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, he says, we'll read the beginning, Kamot Kiyas Chayav Adon Lishma B'Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, Teisha Tekiyas. As we learn, how many sounds do you have to hear on Rosh Hashanah? 9. That's it. And he goes to explanation, we're not going to read it again, because we saw it already. Tekiyah, Trua, Tekiyah, 3 times. Okay, however, this is the key, Halacha Beis. Trua Zu Ha'amura B'Torah. This Trua that the Torah requires, Nistapek lanu basofek lefi orech hashanim verov hagaluyos. Over the years, the many years in Jews being scattered all over the globe, the tradition of what the trua is became a little bit garbled. Okay, people forgot exactly. The ein anu yodim hechi. We don't know exactly what the Torah meant by the trua. Does it mean? And he explains the sharp sounds or the groaning sounds or some combination and so on. All right, so, but you know, it's that's what the Rambam said happened, and Halacha Gimel explains, without mentioning Rav Avoh by name, but he explains that that's what he did. He kind of standardized the text. Okay, now standardized, not the text, but I mean standardized the practice. Okay, and therefore we do what we said before, 30 sounds altogether. The Rambam said at the very end of Halacha Gimel, 30. Nimsa minyan hatkiya shloshim kedei listalek min asofek. To avoid the doubt, to avoid any possibility of not getting the right thing, we blow 30 sounds, and that's exactly what we do. But what the Rambam has told us is what happened. Somehow, during all the gullus and the destruction of Beis HaMikdash and Jews scattered in different places, the tradition was somewhat lost, and therefore it wasn't clear what the Torah meant. There's a suffix, there's a doubt, and so in order to resolve the doubt, we blow these 30 sounds, as we explained. You're looking at 31, the Meiri, in his commentary on Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Aleph, Dibamasu Kfar B'Yarnu, says more or less the same thing, okay? He says, you look on the third line, right, the different traditions, whether it's Shvarim or it's Trua, right, and L'orech HaGoliyos, Shal Yisrael Chalukim B'minhagon, because of the length of the Golos, and Jews scattered and so on, some people did it this way, some people did it that way, and what Rabbi Avo did, so to speak, when he came along, and at the very end of the Gemara of the Mirror, Amdu V'Skinshua, Kol Chosim, let everybody do it, so it'll be one standard practice in Kol Yisrael. okay, and we're done, and that we take care of the suffix, and everybody's covered. That's the way the Meir, I think it's like the Rambam. You could argue, but for the Rambam certainly understands that there was a doubt, we're not sure, and we better cover all bases. If you look in the Rush and other Rishonim, the Rush and Rosh Hashanah Perek Dalet Siman Yud, he has a very different take in the name of Rav Hai Gon. Kosov Rav Hai B'tshuva. He writes, listen, Al Tachshivu, don't think ki nafli ben Ravu safek b'davar zeh. Don't think that it was in the days of Rabbi Avo there was ever a doubt as to what the Torah meant by trua. Some people think it means this, and says no. He says in the second line, there were simply different minhagim. There's no doubt. The Rambam said it was a doubt, and we're not sure because of the gullus and people scattered all over the place. The Rav Haigon says nothing doing. There was never any doubt. There were different traditions. And guess what? He says in the third line of 32. Elu ve'elu yotzin dechovasan. They're all yotze. You know what? The Torah says trua. Trua means a broken sound. What's a broken sound? A broken sound. Some people did longer broken sounds, shvarim. Some people did shorter broken sounds, trua. Maybe some people did a combination. They're all right. They're all correct. It's the own trua, yelachem. It's a broken sound. And everybody was yotze. And the only thing is that it looked funny because different communities did different things. So let's say, you know, my son-in-law comes over Rosh Hashanah, and he grew up over here, and they blew the drum this way. Now, my shul, they blow it that way. People think, what's going on? Oh, you know, causes a little bit of machlokas. So says the Rosh, all Rabbi Avo did was to make a uniform practice, not like the Rambam says, because there was some sort of a doubt, and we don't know which is right. We know which is right. They're all right. They're all correct. But instead of having this community doing it that way and that community doing it this way, and then people thinking the other people are, they're not yotze. So therefore came Rabbi Avo to make peace. And he says, we'll do everybody's. We won't reject anybody's position. We'll incorporate everybody, incorporate everything, and Shalom Yisrael. That's how the Rosh explains Rav Haigon. And the Ritva also in Rosh Hashanah Lamadal Alav, source 33, quotes the same tshuva from Rav Haigon. He also agrees. Okay, it's just a thought. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside. But again, Rav Haigon is quoted by these Rishonim as saying, not like the Rambam, not that there was some doubt and we forgot what the right way to do true is. How can you forget? That's what the Ritva writes in the second line. How can you forget what the what you do last year? Nobody remembered what you did last year. Right? Look at the second line of 33. How do you forget what it is? I mean, unless you had, I don't know, 20 years in a row when Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos, maybe a blow, but ordinarily, you can't imagine. That's what it's supposed to say. How do you forget? Right? So therefore, the position of Rav Haigon that these Rishonim seem to hold from is that nobody forgot. They're just different communities had different customs how to do the broken sound. What did Rabbi Avo do? He standardized the practice that all Klai Yisrael do the same, not because of a doubt, the way the Rambam said. It's a Pasuk in Koheles, we'll read on Shemini Atzeres, Perek Zion, Pasuk Yud Ches, the end of the pasuk has a famous phrase, 34. Yirei Elokim Yetzes Kulam. You want to be Yirei Elokim? Do everything, right? Yetzes Kulam. And the Medrash in Koheles Rabbah there, Parsha Zayin, on that pasuk says, Yirei Elokim Yetzes Kulam Kigon Rabbi Avo de Kishrin. Who's an example of someone who's Yetzes Kulam? Says the Medrash, like Rabbi Avo. So different interpretations in the Farsha and the Medrash what that means. Some say it means that he studied every area of Halacha and Mishnah and Talmud and Hashkof and everything else, but others say no, it's a reference to what he did with regard to Tekiah Shofar. Yetzes Kulam, let's standardize the practice and everybody will do everything. It's interesting as a side point, I never saw this till I was preparing this year, the Ritz Geyes, one of the early Rishonim in 36, in his Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, tells us to practice and so on. If you look in the second part, which is on the next page, he says, "Hachi Amar Rav Shur Bar Hai, the Ha Takanter Beavua the Rav Avo Lo Mididei Tikun La Ela Ikar Hadavar Kachu Mimos Neviim Arishonim." That was a staggering comment. He writes that this Rabbi Avo didn't really introduce this himself. It was already established like this since the days of the Neviim. Wow, that's a pretty old practice. It wasn't Rabbi Avo. Maybe Rav Avo popularized it, or he made it official, but it was already going back to the days of the Neviim. In any event, the position of Rabbi Haigon, it looks like the Sefer Halachas Gedolos, Siman Yud Zayin, Hilchos Rosh Hashanah 37, also agrees like Rav Haigon. Sefer Halachas Gedolos, we don't know exactly who wrote it. We refer to the author as the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos. Okay, but from the time of the Gaon, it would appear, he goes through the whole thing, and he says at the end, we do everything, you know why? Kedei la'arbe ves ha-satan, to mix up the satan. That's how the Rokeach and Simon Reish Aleph also says like that. Okay, Avoh did it because the Satan might interfere with, you know, let's say the Satan comes and interferes with the first set of Tekiahs, so we blow another one, right? We blow a different way, knocks out the Satan. I've always wondered what that means. Kedei la'arbev with the Satan, you would think that by now he caught on. But okay, whatever it means, we mix up the Satan and we do it different ways. Okay, Rashi actually explains the Gemara. The Gemara asks in 39 on Rosh Hashanah Tezanim Alav, going over to Tezanim and Beis, that we actually blow shofar in two different formats, right? We blow shofar what's called the tekiyas demiyushav, the seated tekiyas. We blow those when before musaf, right after laning. We lamaisa, we stand anyway, but it's called tekiyas demiyushav because technically you could sit except for the baal tekiyah. Our minhag is to stand. We blow 30 sounds there, and then we blow again in the shmona esrei. Some shuls do it in both the silent shmona esrei and in the chazoras hashatz. Most Ashkenazim blow only in the chazoras hashatz, and then we blow some extra sounds at the end to get to a nice round number of 100. That's something else. But the Gemara wonders, why do we blow so many sounds? We blow many more. First of all, we certainly blow many more than 9. We saw already to get the 9, you got to blow 30. We blow many more than 30. What's going on? So the Gemara says on the top of Tezayim Abayz, why do we blow and kias and truas when we're standing and sitting? Kedei la'arvei v'satan. Rashi says, and this fits in nicely, Rashi there on Tezana Beis in 40, he says, Kedei la'arvei shalo yastin kishishma yisol mechavavin es hamitzas misat min dvar. Not that the satan gets confused, not that stupid that he doesn't catch on to our practice, but he sees, we love the mitzvah so much, and it goes back to what we said before, your ela kim yeseh es kulam. We follow the practice, we do everybody's minig. We blow 30 sounds just to get 9. It shows our love for the mitzvah. Takes the sting out of the Sutton's kitrug, out of the Sutton's trying to, you know, belittle us and you know, destroy our relation with our Kaddish Baruch Hu, and we come to Tekiah Shofar, we do so many sounds, extra sounds, more sounds. Okay, it shows how much we love the mitzvah. Okay, now, as we just said, you blow the shofar both when you're sitting and you blow the shofar when you're standing during the Shemona Esrei. Again, some places do it both in a silent Shemona Esrei and in the Chazaras Hashatz, and some say Ashkenazi traditions, most Ashkenazim blow it only in the Chazaras Hashatz, every community according to their minhag. But when exactly do you blow? So this is a machlokas in a Mishnah on Rosh Hashanah Lamed Beis on Aleph 41. Okay, we'll only look now at the opinion of Rabbi Akiva because that's what we follow. Look at the last two lines of 41. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah Lamed Beis on Aleph. Omer Avos Gurus Kedusha Hashem. You say the three first brachas. Avos is Magen Avram. Gurus is Atah Gibor Mechayim Esim. Kedusha Hashem is Atah Kadosh. Ending usually Akela Kadosh, but this time you have Melcha Kadosh. Then we say Malchios and Kedusha Sayom together with Tokeya. We say in Musaf, the regular Musaf with the Karbonus and so on, right? Atav Achatanu Mikol Amim and Avnei Chataynu Gilinu Meretzenu and the Karbonus and Malchios and Betokeya. Then we say Zichronos, Tekiah Shofar, then Shofar's Tekiah Shofar. Okay, so that goes back, as Rashi says, in Lamed Beis and Aleph, in 42 Rashi says, that's what we do because that's the three sets of the three, like we mentioned before. This mission is earlier. Okay, so Rashi points to the mission that we already read. Three sets of three in Malchios, in Zichronos, and in Shofros, as the Mishnah states. But what do you blow exactly? I mean, Tekiah Trua, Tekiah, yeah, but which combinations do you do after Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros? So the Rif writes the following, 43. Nimtza Achshav, Shatosh Token, Tashrat, that's the answer, Tekiah, Shvorim, Terua, they make the Terua Reish because you already use the Tuf for the Tekiah, and then it's here Gimel Pamin, okay? V'token Tashat Gimel Pamin, Tekiah Shvarim, Tekiah Gimel Pamin, three times. V'token Tarat, Tekiah Terua, Tekiah Gimel Pamin. That's before Musaf, that's exactly what we do, right? Tekiah Shvarim, Terua, Tekiah three times, Tekiah Shvarim, Tekiah three times, Tekiah Terua, Tekiah three times. Now, V'nogom L'token Kashiyoshu, we do it seated, again, we stand, and make the Bracha, and so on and so forth, but now, we also blow the shofar, what's called Al Seder HaBrachas, with the brachas of the Shemona Esrei. Lefichach, on the second line of 43, Chozrin, V'token Al Seder HaBrachas, here's what we do, says the Rif. The three times in the Shemona Esrei is Tashrat Pa'am Achas, one, Tekiah Shvarim to a Tekiah, that's after Malchus. Tashat Pa'am Achas, Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah, after Zichronos. The Tarat Pa'am Achas, just Tekiah Trua Tekiah after shofar. That's not what we do in most places. But that's the practice the Rif has. And he says, that's the minig. And he says, really, really, you should blow all three each time. Tekiah Shvarim, Terua Tekiah, Tekiah Shvarim, Tekiah, Terua Tekiah. All three combinations should be done each time, after Malchus, after the Zichronos, and after Shofars. But, says the Rif, we don't do that. We just blow Tekiah Shvarim, Terua Tekiah, after Malchus, Tekiya Shvarim, Tekiya after Zichonos, Tekiya Truah, Tekiya after Shofars. Why? To not to, to in effect, to Tirchen Tzibura, right? Not to, you know, make too much for people. Dailahem, right? It's enough. Okay, Shalol, last line of 43, Shalol, Hatriach Hasat Tzibur. Not to make the tzibur, it's made impossible, so many sound. V'chein ha-minig b'chol ha-olam, says the Rif of Shtei Yeshivas, the two primary yeshivas in Babel, that's the minig, okay? The Rambam as well, in Source 44, Hilchos Shofar, Paragimel, started with Halacha Yud, explains the whole process, and he says what we do in the Tekiyas D'Miyushav, there we blow all three possibilities. Tashrat three times, Tashat three times, Tarat three times, 30 sounds in the Tekiyas D'Miyushav. But, he said, and then he says you shouldn't talk. And then in Halacha Yud Beis, the Ram writes, really, you should do that in the Shemona Esrei after each bracha, after Malchus, after Zichonos, and after Shofros. You should blow all three possibilities once. He said, but we don't do that. We don't do that. Okay. Ein matrichan al tzibur lachso ben kulan al seder brachas. We don't do that. Rather, dialan, it's enough. Each time, one tashrat after Malchus, tashat, just the shvarim after Zichonos, and Tarat, just the Truah, after. And he says, that's the minig. That is the minig. Okay? That's the Rambam, like the Riv. The Tosus also quotes, okay? The Tosus in that Daf Rosh Hashanah Gimel Beis Dibur Maaseh Shir Truah, writes, V'achshav Noagin, now our practice is, again, at Kis Tum Yushav, everything three times, like we said. Okay? But he writes, Umiyo, the third line after the three dots, Lichora Nirelit Kol B'Tfila Kamokain. Amalchus Zichron Shavos Kashra. He has there's a tough at all because tough could mean a Tekiya Truah. Don't not mix people up. Their abbreviation is Kashrak. The Tekiya Shvarim Truah Tekiya Kashak Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya Karak Tekiya Truah Tekiya Akol Chad V'Chad Kedei Lotzeis Misofek Rabbi Avo. Really, you should blow each of the possibilities after Malchus, Yechonos, and Shofros. And that's what we do, by the way. He writes, Uva Aruch, Pirshay Osikain, the Sefer Aruch, an early Rishon. Also, that's what we do. Now, he said that's what you should do. And that's what we do in most shuls. After Malchus, Tekiya Shvarim, Truah Tekiya, Tekiya Shvarim, Tekiya, Tekiya Truah Tekiya. We do that. Most shuls, that's what they follow. And that was the practice of the Aruch. All right? And then he says, at the end, we want to get, because there's a tradition, back to Sisra's mother, she made 100 cries. So, We make blow some extra sounds at the end by Kaddish, by Enkelokena, but okay, that's something else. All right, but that was the meaning of the Aruch. But as we saw in the Rif and the Rambam, that was not the widespread practice. Today it is the widespread practice, but in the days of the Rif and the Rambam, it wasn't. And if you look four lines to the bottom of 45, Uval Minig Shalonu Hayatamiya Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam found the practice that he saw in his day very astounding. He says, because if you only blow Tekiya Shvarim Truah Tekiya and Malchus, and that's all. And that's not the right definition of Truah, so then you didn't blow Shofar properly after Malchios. Or let's say in Zichronos, you blow Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya. That's it, okay? Well, then according to the other opinion, you weren't Yotze because you're supposed to blow a Truah, and that's not what a Truah is. So in other words, it says the Rabbi Natam, I don't understand. If you're not going to blow all possibilities, then you're running the risk of not having a correct Shofar sounding in two out of the three brachas. One is right, but two of the others are going to be wrong. So he said he found it very, very, it's Hosen's essay. You're stuck. And therefore, he didn't like this practice. And therefore, what did he do? Hineg Rabbeinu Tam, 45, he had a different practice. He said, blow Tekiya Shvarim Truah Tekiya all three times, once all three times. Then you're safe because you've got Shvarim Truah, you've got the Shvarim, and you got the Truah. So there's a hefsik in between. That's not the end of the world, he says. So let's say the real correct Truah is what we call Shvarim. And you blew Tekiya, Shvarim, Truah, Tekiya. So you had those Truahs in it that don't belong. That's okay. That's a hefsik, not the end of the world. And he quotes, the Gemara says later, I printed it in Lamed Daled in Aleph 46. Amar Yochanan goes over to Lamed Beis. Shama teisha tekiyas b'teisha shos b'yom yotza. Technically speaking, if I heard a tekiya at 9 o'clock in the morning, then I heard a truah at 10:30, and then I heard another tekiya to 20 to 1, and I end up hearing 9 sounds, I'm yotze. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, see, no worry about the hefsik problem. Okay, you yotze. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is that way, by the way, in 48. Technically speaking, Sim Tov Kuf Peches of Arachaim, Siv Bey, Shoma Tes Tekiyas. Again, Tekiyas with the truth. You heard him, you yotze. So Rabbeinu Tam says, forget the problem of the hefsik, the interruption. Blow Tekiya, Shvarim Truah Tekiya, blow that three times, and then one after Malchus, one after Tichonos, one after Shofars, and that way each one had the correct sound. Ah, you'll tell me there's a hefsik in case one of them is wrong. Nah, it's okay. But now, that's what Rabbeinu Tam said. The Chiddush HaRashba, without referring to that Rabbeinu Tam, there in Rosh Hashanah Amud Aleph, doesn't like that so much, because he says that which it says in the Gemara, Teisha Tekiyos, you heard 9 Tekiyos scattered throughout the day, and you did other things in between. We weren't worried about a hefsik. Yeah, that's b'di'evit, if it happened. L'chatchila ain't Rishay Lach, but l'chatchila you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to go and hear one sound here, one sound there, and do 12 other things in the middle. Yeah, the Mishnah, the Gemara says, you yotze. Okay, b'di'evit, you yotze, says Rashba, but you're not supposed to do it that way. Okay, and that's also, you look in the 50, Kosov Sham, L'raivit, that's the Raivit, the Sogas on the Rif, in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yudam and Aleph, on the pages of the Rif, he says, L'abona nehid, yotze, b'di'evit. Okay, but lechatchil lo miboilav sukkah. You shouldn't make a hefsek in between the psukim. If we remember, the rivet goes back to the psukim, where we learned you had to have a tkiya and a trua after. The pasuk says ovarta shofar trua uskatem trua. It's juxtaposed. It says no hefsek. You can't have another sound in between. Okay, but the eved maybe you're not supposed to have another sound in between. Okay, so this was the practice of Rabbeinu Tam. This was the practice of Rabbeinu Tam. So that's yet another custom. Not what we do. We do like the Aruch. But there are different things. Now, the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Daled Aleph 51 says, "Al Yesh Omrim." Okay, he quotes, and before I read the Rashba, the Ritva, and the Ramban. Okay, let's remember, it's a good kasha the Rabbeinu Tam asks. Okay, Rabbeinu Tam asks, if one of them is wrong, if we only hold that trua means either shvarim, or what we call trua, or some combination, and only one is right, like the Rambam said, over the years they forgot, there's a suffix. So Rabbeinu Tam's kasha is a powerful kasha. Then if you're going to blow just tekiya shvarim trua tekiya by Malchios, just tekiya shvarim tekiya by Zichonos, just tekiya trua tekiya by Shofars, which the Rif and the Rambam said was the standard practice throughout the world, which Rabbeinu Tam also, until he tried to change it, was a standard practice, says Rabbeinu Tam, I don't understand. Two out of your three are not going to have the correct sounds. It's not going to have, tekiya is a correct sound, but it's not going to have the correct trua. You're not blowing together with malchus. You're not blowing together with shofars. One of them is going to be right, but not all three. So that's a problem. All right. Now, the Ritva quotes that the Rav Haigon, and this might be the key to the answer. Okay. He says, because, you know, he mentions the problem that Rabbeinu Tam raises, you know, as Ramban also mentions, okay, there's a hefsek, it's not really right with a hefsek. But if we move down, let's say a few minutes to the Rashba in 53, the Rashba raised the same kasha that Rabbeinu Tam raised, right? The Rashba in Rosh Hashanah, Lamdal Alav, Dumas of Yesh Ladaktik, okay? By the way, the part I'm skipping, the Ritva and Ramban says, it's not just that there's a hefsek, but it's a hefsek with a different shofar sound. There's a difference between a hefsek, I went to read something, to go get something. That's you, 9 times during the course of the day, you heard 9 sounds, okay. But if you blow l'shem mitzvah another sound, and that's wrong, that's a real hefsek. Okay, but the Rashba says, I have a very simple answer. And it goes back to what we said before. What did Rav Haigon say about the practice of Rav Avo? Not that any of the sounds are no good. They're all good. So they're all fine. It's just that there were different practices. So Rabbi Avo decided to standardize it, maybe earlier than Rabbi Avo. So says the Rashba, after he asked the same kasha Rabbeinu Tam has, that if we're going to blow Tashrat for Malchios, Tashat for Zichonos, Tarat for Shofros, 2 out of the 3 are wrong. Says the Rashba, no, they're not wrong. They're not wrong. All the sound, all the truas are good. This way it's good, that way it's good, long sound, short sound, combination sound, they're all good. So therefore, that's exactly what the Rif said during the Shmona Esrei, we're not going to be matriach the people, since they're all good anyway. Let's remember, says the Rashba, the last two lines of 53, Uludiv Rabbein Haigan lo kashamidi, the Yom Trua Amar Rachmana, all the Torah said was Yom Trua. It's however the broken sound is. So we covered all the possibilities already in the sounds that we blew, the 30 sounds we blew before the Shmona Esrei. We covered everything already. So we're safe. Now, during the Shmona Esrei, since they're all good anyway, it's not a problem. That we don't, not true that 2 out of the 3 are wrong. They're all right. You hear the Teretz Rashba? That eliminates the whole problems. It's okay to blow Tekiah Shvarim Truah Tekiah for Malchios, Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah for Zichronos, Tekiah Truah Tekiah, which was the practice. And the Ran says in the Chiddush HaRan the same thing. Rosh Hashanah Yudim and Beis Gon Riyud Alaf. He says the same thing. According to Rabbi Haigo, it's not a problem. They're all good. They're all okay. Rabbi Natan preferred the other way because then he was less worried about the Hefsik. Others are more worried about the Hefsik, but they said there's no problem because you hold like Rav Haigon, it's a problem solved. And we don't say Tekiah Shofar by the Tekiahs that we heard before Musaf. Then we had all 30 sounds to cover, all 30 Tekiahs to cover all the possibilities to get the 9. Now, during the Shemona Esrei, we don't have to be as strict. We can go back to the original practice of Truah, meaning whatever it is, they're all good. So that's why the old practice was right. That's not our practice. But that's what he says. The Ramban and the Mechah, I hope I understand. That's the Rashba and the Ram. That's what he's saying. If you accept Rav Haigon's idea that they were all good anyway, so then it's not a problem. We don't say 2 out of 3 are wrong. They're not wrong. They're right. We're not standardizing it like Rabbi Avoh did, but that's okay because we already did that in the Tekiah Shofar before Musaf. Now we're just blowing in Musaf. So any combination is good. That's how these Rishonim answer the problem raised by Rabbi Natan. The Ramban gives yet a different answer. The Ramban on the Chamas Hashem, Rosh Hashanah, Yud Aleph Manal, gives a different answer in 55. It's just an expansion, so to speak, of this answer. And he brings up something else entirely. He brings up that the Tekiahs in the Musaf Shmona Esrei are a different nature of Tekiah altogether. It's a different Kiyum of Tekiah Shofar. And the Ramban brings up, and I don't have time to read inside, please take a look at it. It's interesting to see. The Ramban writes that the tekiahs in the Shemona Esrei are similar in nature to the tekiahs that we blow on a fast day. Remember we spoke before about the chatzotzos? So you take a look in 56, the Mishnah in Tainus, when it was a fast day, there was an attack. There was a famine, no rain, a drought. There was, we're familiar with it today, there was a pandemic, right? And people were sick and dying, so they would have fast days. I'm not talking about the regular fast days that we fast, you know, like Tisha B'Av or something. Fast days that were instituted in order to, to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu for divine assistance when there's trouble. So they would fast, they would take the Aron out, and they would say as long Shemona Esrei with 24 brachas. Among the extra 6 were Zichronos and Shofars from Rosh Hashanah. And you know what? They would blow the chatzotzos. You look in the Gemara in Tezayin and Beis there in 58, and you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Tainus Perek Dalad, they would take the Aron out to the street, and people would fast, they would daven, they would say, and the Mishnayos, if you're interested, tell you all the psukim, they would say different kapitlach of Tehillim, that the petition of Kodesh Baruch, all kinds of different things that they would say, and they would blow the shofar. Not that it would blow, actually the shofar, but primarily it would blow the chatzotzos. Now, if you look carefully, in source 60, the Rambam says, what's the mitzvah on a fast day? Look at 60 parak alav because tainetz halach alav mitzvah sase min haTorah lizok ule haria b'chatzotos to scream out Hashem and to sound the chatzotos al kol tzora she tovalat tzibur for any tzoris, any anguish, any tzoris that fall upon the tzibur. Says the Ramban. Notice that there in Maseches Tainetz, there's no discussion. Well, which truah do you blow? What do you blow? It doesn't matter. Okay, they're all okay. You're blowing to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Zav Soloveitchik explained this Ramban back in Source 55. The Ramban is saying that the tekiahs that we blow in the Shemona Esrei are not for the mitzvah of tekiah shofar. They're for tefillah. They're an extension of our tefillah. We petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu with words. We also petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the sound of the shofar. And the Rav had many rayas, not for now because the hour is late, that tekiah shofar is also a kiyum in tefillah. I'll give you one. The Gemara says a shofar is supposed to be bent. All our shofars are bent, right? So the Rav said, because like a person bent over, like the Gemara says, the Rav pointed this, the Gemara says it, it's like a person bent over in tefillah. And there are many other rayas. The mere fact that we blow shofar in the middle of Shemona Esrei, what other mitzvah do you do in the middle of Shemona Esrei? It'd be a hefzik. We don't take the lulav in the middle of Shemona Esrei. We don't eat matzah in the middle of Shemona Esrei. Okay, we don't light Hanukkah candles in the middle of Shemona Esrei, but somebody blows shofar in the middle of Shemona Esrei. The answer is because it's part of tefillah. So says the Ramban in this piece over here, the mitzvah of tekiah shofar, that was done before the Shemona Esrei, what we call the tekiah shofar, before Musaf. We blew the 30 sounds. Then we're worried about Rabbi Avoh, cover all bases, whatever else. Okay, because the truth is the Rambam, couldn't give that answer that we gave before. Oh, Rav Haigon said they're all good. The Rambam, remember, said that they were not all good. There was a suffix. We're not sure. And yet the Rambam still allowed you to blow just Tekiah Shvarim Teruah Tekiah by Malchus, just Tekiah Shvarim Teruah by Zichron, just Tekiah Teruah Tekiah by Shofars. And he can't answer, well, they're all good. No, he said they're not all good. So with him, we're back to square one. Two out of the three are no good. No, they are good because it's a different mitzvah. Rabbi Avoh standardized Tekiah Shofar. That we do before the Shemoneh Esrei. But the tekiyas in the Shemoneh Esrei, that's part of tefillah. The Ramban says at the end of 55, "Shetiknu tekiyas kadesh shi'ala zichronei l'tova b'shofar," to bring our tefillas up to our Kaddish Baruch Hu, so to speak. There, we don't have to bother everybody standardizing a Ravo's practice. Forget it. We did that by tekiyas shofar. That's how the Ritva in 61 summarizing the practice. Okay, that it's a different character to the tekiah shofar. It's not a tekiah of tekiah shofar, but it's a tekiah of tefillah. That's something else. And therefore, again, it's not our practice. Our practice, like the Aruch, we take a blow all three possibilities all three times from Malchus, for Zichronos, and Shofars. But at least it explains that shita, that unusual shita, which at one point was a standard practice. I think in some places they still do like that. That was the original minhag, okay, as we saw before in the Rambam and the Rif, and so the Chachmei Sfar, and also the Chachmei Ashkenaz, the minhag Shtei Yeshivas in Bava, and the Tosas, until Rabbeinu Tam put in his innovation. I just want to conclude within a minute or two, just to conclude, this will help us understand something that's relevant this year. I pointed out, of course, at the beginning, that this year we're not going to blow shofar for the first day of Rosh Hashanah, because it's Shabbos. So you look in the Mishnah 62, the Mishnah tells us this, right? On Yom Tov, Chof Tesson Beis Rosh Hashanah. Yom Tov Shoshan Shechalos B'Shabbos, V'Mikdosh Haru Tokan V'Lo B'Medina. They blew the shofar in the Beis HaMikdosh, even on Shabbos. But the Medina, the rest of the place, Rosh Hashanah, Medina, Yerushalayim, everywhere else, he learns, the Rambam says Yerushalayim was included in Mikdosh, whatever, but you don't blow shofar, certainly not in New York and New Jersey, when Rosh Hashanah lands on Shabbos. So the Gemara wonders, Chof Tesson Beis, why? Who said? Where does it come from? Why do we not blow shofar on Shalom and Shabbos? Who said? Okay, where does that come from? So the Gemara first proposed, coming full circle now, well, this will finish up. The Gemara first proposed that it's because you have two psukim, back sources 1 and 2. One pasuk refers to Rosh Hashanah as a day of zichron truah, zichron, to remember, not to actually blow the shofar, but to think about it. Or as Rashi says, both in his commentary to the Gemara in 65, Rosh Hashanah Chof Tesman Bey, zichron truah, lo truah mamish, not actually sounding ela mikros psukim. And he says that even in his commentary on the Chumash, in Parshas Emor, 66, Zichron Trua, Zichron Psuke, Zichronus, and so on and so forth. Okay? Then, but the Gemara challenged that. They said, 1 second. If that's the case, then why is the Mikdash any different? If Midoraisa, Zichron Trua means that you're not supposed to sound the shofar, and when is that? When it's on Shabbos. And the other Pasuk in the second source, back in source 2, Yom Trua, that's a weekday. So Zichron Trua is Shabbos, Yom Trua is weekday. So Shabbos you don't blow, weekday you do. If that's what the Pesukim means, how can you do it in the Beis HaMikdash? That's the Gemara's Kasha. How can you do it in the Beis HaMikdash? So comes along Rava and answers, that's not why. It's got nothing to do with the Pesukim. Midoraisa, you should blow shofar everywhere on Rosh Hashanah, including in New York and New Jersey, everywhere. Why don't we? Totally different reason. The Rabbanan later made a gzera that we're afraid that since on Shabbos you're not allowed to carry, and somebody will forget, there's no Erev, let's say, you're going to go out and carry, and they'll end up carrying a shofar to shul, or they'll carry the shofar to the hospital to blow for the people there, or to their nursing home, or for somebody sick. We'll end up, people today have lots of outdoor minyanim, so people will carry the shofar, they'll forget that it's Shabbos, so therefore that's why we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. And the Mikdash, those deres Rabbanan didn't apply. Okay, that's the conclusion of the Gemara. That's also why we don't wave the lulav on the first day of Sukkot either, because you may carry it to shul. What the Bavli leaves unanswered is, so why would the two psukim? Why does one pasuk say zichron truah, one pasuk say yom truah? Okay, and the answer is now, and this will finish, that's what the Ramban says. One pasuk is telling us that there's a kiyum of zichron truah to say psukim, it's part of tefillah. The other pasuk, yom truah, that's the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar, two different mitzvahs. And that's beautifully. We daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our mouths, with our lips, and we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a shofar as well. You know why? Because sometimes we can't figure out what to say. I don't even know what to say. I got to call out. And Shabbos, nothing to do with Shabbos. Shabbos is a different reason. You may carry a technical problem. But Zichron Tu and Yom Tu, we put that Ramban together, we can understand this as well. The Shulchan Aruch brings it yet another minute. We'll have to save that for the different time. I want to take the opportunity to wish everybody a Ksiva Chizma Tova, a good Gebench Yor. It should be a year. Toshin Payalov should be a year when we recover from the difficulty of this year. And our tefillahs should go up to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Both our verbal tefillahs, when we say the words, and the sound of the shofar should go Yala L'Ratzon, should go up L'Ratzon in front of our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day. And again, a Ksiva Chizma Tova. Kol Tov.